Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, just to pick up on a few Oscar things, things did seem to run pretty smoothly without an actual host, though Maya Rudolph, Tina Fey, and Amy Poehler did open the show. And here's a quick clip from that beginning.
I didn't find them especially hysterical this year, I got to say. They're very likable.
Likable is definitely the way to go.
But I've seen them be funnier, or maybe,
well, this was
just me.
This was a funny clip.
Here we go.
Good evening and welcome to the 1,000,000th Academy Awards. We are not your hosts, but we're going to stand here a little too long so that the people who get USA Today tomorrow will think that we hosted.
That's great. That's great. So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall.
Be doing awards during the commercials, but we will be presenting commercials during the awards. So if all the winners could please say Hellman's mayonnaise, we're on the side of food, instead of your speeches, that would be great.
So it was a fun opening. I think people did probably think like, we could use a little bit more of that throughout the show, but
I could have used that.
It was dry.
Brian, did you see Can You Ever Forgive Me?
I did. I liked quite a bit.
I did too. I saw it on a plane, mm-hmm. So I saw it in someone's headrest. I thought it was like a...
Not your own?
Else's headrest.
Yeah, that was a nice little ditty.
Yeah.
But I didn't have it like... It didn't feel... I don't know. I miss like The Godfather or something.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Like,
well, it wasn't
like best screenplay,
right.
Or guess whatever.
It wasn't
like,
epic.
It's a nice little film.
Right. No. It's a good little movie. It's a cool story. It's well acted. It's well told. It wasn't nominated for Best Picture. I didn't feel like it was especially snubbed. I was like, yeah, that was a good movie, and it deserved to get a few award nominations.
Screenplay or something like that.
I thought that was deserved. Screenplay, actress, and supporting actor. I liked it quite a bit. I didn't think it was the best movie of the year, but
I enjoyed it. But it felt, I don't know, it didn't feel like it distinguished itself from anything. I remember maybe it was too small or something. I don't know.
It is pretty small in scope and scale. I mean, it's, you know, it's a little story told over the course of whatever, you know, 2 months or whatever takes place. It's not a big movie.
I'm going back to my thing that ruins everything to me, which is if you said to me, can you make Black Panther? I'd go, no. They go, could you make this movie? I'd go, yeah, I could make this movie.
Sure.
And so anything I think I'm closer to being able to do is ruined.
Unimpressive.
Including family members.
Well, meanwhile, the speeches were fairly subdued, though some of them had a little political flair. The one person, though, that people are still referencing is Spike Lee's speech for Best Adapted Screenplay. By the way, adapted by Kevin Willmott, a KU professor that I knew well. I'm very proud of him. Yeah, it was very cool.
University
of Kansas. Yeah,
he wrote the original.
The adaptation.
Oh, the
screenplay.
I'm confused. Mm-hmm. The screenplay was not written by the.
Sorry, the adaptation.
The screenplay is the adaptation.
Yeah, the adapted screenplay.
But if we use two different titles, I'll start getting confused.
Gotcha.
Based on a magazine article or something, right? Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it started with Spike Lee joyously jumping on Samuel L. Jackson and then saying this.
400 years, our ancestors were stolen from Mother Africa and brought to Jamestown, Virginia, enslaved. Our ancestors worked from the land from Kansas in the morning. The can't see at night. Before the world tonight, I give.
It was at this point that I thought he could go on for 45 minutes and they would never play him off.
Right.
He could go on and on.
I don't know. Who's lived a better life than Spike Lee? I mean, it's such a crazy, it's such a weird obsession, which is history is just littered with horrible atrocities done to people throughout time. Since human beings are put on this earth, there's if you want to talk
happening to this day,
happening to this day, and if you want to talk to Gergis about the Armenian genocide, he'll do
his thoughts.
40 minutes on the Armenian.
Can't keep him to shut up about it.
Genocide. I mean, it's just there's genocide. There's slaves. Everyone was engaged in everything. There's war. There's innocence lost. There's Japanese, there's comfort women who are taken by the China Japanese and given to the Chinese army, and they're repeatedly raped in Japanese internment camps here in the on our whatever. I understand all of that, and it's the norm, by the way. Like in terms of slavery, most of the world was involved with slavery at a certain point. We fought a war, and it stopped. And that's good. And we should sort of get on with our lives here. It's weird to me that he gets to, and he's a wildly successful guy who gets to make movies for a living. I don't know why this is a constant drum that he never stops beating. I know no one's got the guts to tell him to shut up, but it's just like, I get it. There's essentially a majority white audience just saw fit to give you another Academy Award or an Academy Award. When can we take our foot off the accelerator and just coast a little bit on the slavery part? Do we have to
No time soon.
Okay.
I don't know. Spike's got to be 55-ish in that neighborhood, maybe late 50s.
He's probably like 61 or something.
He's 61.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh.
Well done.
61?
Well, my thought was... Good. I hadn't heard from Spike in a while, and I was like, oh, maybe time's chilled him out. Maybe, you know, age and time. I don't know if Chris has the story or if Gina has the story, but when Green Book was announced as the best picture winner and his movie Black Klansman, of course, was up, he apparently had a histrionic fit, threw his arms in the air, and left the room, and they wouldn't let him leave.
And said something to the effect of, anytime there's a movie with somebody driving somebody, I lose, because he lost for Do the Right Thing and driving his daisy.
The coolest thing about Black Klansman is the title. The rest of the movie is very watchable, but you don't have to watch it. And it's not a masterpiece by any stretch of the imagination. It's just fine. There's a couple things about Black Klansman that are kind of fun. The title is good, and the era. It's like, hey, it's Boulder, Colorado, 1977, or whatever it was, and the people are dressing, and the music, and all that.
It's a great story.
It's a great premise. Yeah, it was, I think, poorly executed, because it was a really interesting premise.
Right. He shouldn't be devastated that this didn't win the... Well, he can be, but he is exposing himself by saying, I should have won.
Do you think he was upset that he lost, period, or that he lost to Green Book?
I don't know. What I'm saying to you is Spike Lee is a miniature man who does funny things and wears funny shades and dresses funny and everything else. I don't think he's a good guy. I've been saying that for a long time, but he can say whatever he wants because he's part. There's two things that make him. There's actually three things. It's interesting. I've told you guys a million times. Like you go like, oh, George Clooney, that guy looks like he can fly a plane. Lou Pearlman, oh, that guy can't fly a plane. He's fat. Richard Jewell's a fat guy who lived with his mom, and it was like, who blew up the Atlanta Olympics? Like that fat, the guy at the double chin. Look at him. He blew something up. Look at him. Like we do a lot
of look over his face. Fat face.
Look at that big fat face. Look at him. He did something. He blew something up.
Richard Jewell.
We do a weird thing, which is Spike Lee's a fun name. Spike Lee is black, and Spike Lee's kind of diminutive. So we go, look at him. He's not a bad guy. Look at him.
He's Mars. Yeah. He's Mars Blackman. It's gotta be the shoes.
Yeah. He's a bad guy, and I think he's racist, too, and nobody really ever dares utter anything about Spike Lee, because he's cute, and his name's Spike, and he's black, so we can't really do, and I don't want to get into trouble, but he's a bad dude, and I don't think he likes white people, so there you go.
Quick apparel question, because I'm just seeing this right now, because we're paused on looking at him. Is he wearing two buttons with white hoods?
Yes.
Okay.
He said, you can find the quote, he said that when he sees mixed race couples like walking down the street, he shoots daggers at them. Like he gives them a look. Like if he sees a black man and a white woman or vice versa, he gives them a look. And it's like, okay, Spike, I don't know. I thought the goal was evolving into who cares and what groups are together and why they're together. Maybe they're in love, perhaps. Yeah.
So this was about after a year he released Jungle Fever, which was a film about a black-white couple. He said, I give interracial couples a look, daggers. They get uncomfortable when they see me on the street.
That's great.
All right, maybe he's a racist. I don't know. Is it possible for black people to be racist?
Well, when you say stuff like that.
Yes. All right. Anyway.
So here's another clip from the speech.
Praise our ancestors who built this country and was today, along with the genocide of his native people. The 2020 presidential election is around the corner. Let's all mobilize. Let's all be on the right side of history. Make the moral choice between love versus hate. Let's do the right thing. You know I had to get that in there.
That's how you do.
Just running in place. Also, it's funny when Samuel L. Jackson, I would say, like, when you're doing the thing, like, don't go, whoa, yeah, like, don't start celebrating
don't
it,
because
it kind of means, what about the guys who lost? Yeah. Like, I don't think he made up
rooting
his
against
name,
them,
but you shouldn't, if you're calling the Super Bowl for Fox, don't start screaming when the Patriots say, yes, I'm a
we
rich
did
man.
Like,
We all know everyone has thought. I'm sure everyone in the announcer's booth has a favorite team.
Sure.
But the idea is we got to kind of just pretend like we're not. All right. This half of the show brought to you by betonline.ag. Enter podcast one. dollarshaveclub.com/M. I'll tell you about betonline.ag. A ton of action in NBA, college, basketball, NHL. Plus, March Madness is less than a month away. Only one place for all the early lines in the action, betonline.ag. Sign up today and you get a free account. Use promo code podcast1. Receive 50% sign up bonus. That is a 50% sign up bonus. And can anyone beat them Warriors? What about it, man? Can LeBron and the Lakers make a run? How about Denver? Are they for real? Use your mobile device today. With the promo code podcast1, get a 50% sign-up bonus and try in-game live betting. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook expert. BetOnline.ag. All right, what else you got?
Well, by the way, remember when James Brolin was here and he said they were going to the Oscars this year because Babs was doing a little thing?
Oh,
well, her little thing was...
She loved Black Klansman.
Yeah, she was introducing Black Klansman and talking about the little back and forth she had with Spike Lee. We don't have to watch it, but that's why she was there.
Yeah, I saw her up there. And I also started thinking about, she has that thing where she has her good side and her bad side, but when the mic's just in the center of the stage and you walk right up to it, how can we get the side down? Now, do you think she says shoot it from this side or that way?
I think she knows at this point that if it's going to be completely faced forward, she has to be completely faced forward and not crane her neck. Trust me.
Uh-huh.
I know what I'm talking about.
Do you think most people who are convinced they have a good side and a bad side, do you think that would be detectable to strangers if you said to this person, this person has a good side and a bad side?
No.
You tell me.
No.
No?
Not
no.
generally, unless no. there was some specific flaw.
Yeah, yeah, birthmark.
I think that mostly. I think that mostly comes from somebody telling them.
I'm not talking about an incident involving a waffle iron and a break into your
Harvey
kitchen.
Dent has a good side to bad side.
I think somebody tells you when you are at an impressionable bull point in your life that you have a good side, and you cling to that for the rest of your life.
Well, my parents said I had two bad sides. So that's all I got out of that.
Disappear as much
that's
as you
right.
can.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few ratings, ratings info from the Oscars, though they're still coming in. But there was a little bit of an uptick this year.
Oh, good. I'll tell Jimmy got beat by Mike Stamp. Guess who smoked you in the ratings? Oh. Hey, Mike Stamp.
Not
really?
A huge uptick, a little uptick.
I'm going to see him tomorrow.
It's the Kimmel effect.
I'll tell him.
Hey, he's beloved.
I'm
and
joking,
people
of
love
course.
Him as a host. Last year, I think it ended up being about 26.5 million in the viewership department. As it stands now, this year was 29.6.
How much of it is, well, first off, there's a novelty to no host, which is what are they going to do? And then there's also, this one came in how much shorter than?
This one was 320. What was last year?
Oh, don't start. 318 this year. I know that because when the Oscars announced that four categories were going to go during the commercials, this was a few weeks ago.
Over-under.
I raced online because the over-under was 315. I'm like, no, house, four awards not getting given. This is a lock. Put a big bet on the under. They put it back in a week later.
They can't do that.
They can and they did.
Highly unethical.
They can and they did. Screwed.
So, yeah, we just need to know basically if 2018 was more than 318 because that's what it came into this year.
I assume they don't know yet the, like, sort of, you know, cause, you know, they can tell when the viewership goes up or down, you know what I mean, based on the
where it spikes,
hour parts.
Yeah.
My guess is that viewership was up because of, specifically because of the Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper song. Like, there's enough people who wouldn't normally be super into the Oscars would have a little bit of a casual interest in that and might tune in where they normally wouldn't.
Nope.
Okay.
That's my guess.
So there we are with that. Now on to the more exciting awards, the Razzie winners. Ooh. That always takes place, I believe, the night before the Oscars. And Holmes and Watson, really sweeping. They were considered the worst of the worst, walking with worst picture, worst director, worst remake, ripoff, sequel, and worst supporting actor for John C. Reilly. Mm-hmm. Now, Melissa McCarthy is interesting. She was named the worst actress for The Happy Time Murders and Life of the Party, but she picked up the Redeemer Award for Can You Ever Forgive Me? So they had a lot
she
of...
She is a talent. The Happy Time Murders, I never saw it. It struck me as this is either going to work or it's not going to work. It's kind of a being John Malkovich kind of thing. Like it's you're hearing it and you're going, this could work, but if it doesn't, it's really not going to work. And I guess that just didn't work?
I don't think it did. I think the reason it probably got greenlit was because Avenue Q, the Broadway musical that was basically a dirty, Sesame Street that works blue, was huge. Everybody loved Avenue Q. It was dirty. It was raunchy. It was puppets. And they thought, well, if a Broadway musical can do it, we can. But they didn't.
I should tell folks that not Taco Bell material, the stand-up special, you can pre-order it digitally, and it's dropping March 5th, but you can get it at chassis.com or go to iTunes, and then it'll just show up on the 5th and enjoy it. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
2018 Oscars, 3 hours, 53 minutes.
Yeah, so it was considerably shorter.
Yeah, this year. Well, another accuser has stepped forward against Michael Jackson. Adrienne McManus, she was a maid who worked at Neverland Ranch during the 1990s, tells 60 Minutes Australia that she saw Jackson fondling young boys at the mansion, among other things. She later claimed that Jackson's bodyguards threatened her with death and that her body would never be found if she ever talked about it on TV. But attorney Tom Mazzaro calls the charges hogwash.
I'm looking at her. I don't think there'd be a lot of people looking if her body went missing. But here we go.
Yeah. Here's a clip from the interview where
Maybelline, maybe. Stock might be down.
Yeah.
McManus lobs more allegations over at Michael.
And when I would go in the next day, there were little boys' underwears either on the floor with Michael's or they were in the jacuzzi.
So you were suspicious as soon as you saw that?
Yeah, I got suspicious. And then I would find underwears also in his bed. I did find underwears that were men's briefs in the walk-in closet, and they were, I don't like to say this, they were like crunchy, hard, with yellow stains all over them. I didn't know who they belonged to, because the little boys started wearing Michael's briefs, and they would leave their underwears inside his drawer.
So that's great.
Yeah.
Can say a lot more stuff on 60 Minutes Australia than he can hear.
Is that the maid that Schwarzenegger was banging? Or is that a different chick?
It's a slightly different chick.
You guys want a palate cleanser?
Yes.
The song still kicks.
Boy, could he move. Could you see him move? This guy could move.
There's no way this guy did anything wrong. I've seen him dance.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And so now there's this debate of whether or not HBO is going to air this series because the Jackson estate is pissed. But they're like, you know, screw you. It's happening. So we'll see if it
What is the series?
Airs. It's what they showed at Sundance. It's not a series. It's two parts because I think it's like 4 hours long. With Wade Robeson and I can't remember the other guy's name, but basically two new accusers that say this happened to us when we were much younger.
It's pretty explosive from what I hear.
We're living in this insane time, which is, I don't think there's such a thing as just like wanting to cuddle young guys or feeling safe around them or whatever. If you're regular, you got no time. Like,
you barely hug yourself.
I spent the entire...
avoid any contact whatsoever.
I spent the entire day at my daughter's volleyball, whatever, yesterday, and I was miserable. I did not want to be there. And that's a very authentic, proud feeling
emotion
for a male to have, is not to be went around a bunch of 12-year-olds for literally like 7 or 8 hours. Like, they kill the whole day. There's this new thing going on, which is the scholastic version of it. Brian, you can look forward to this, and Gina, you shall too. Those are the projects. The projects are the stupid, you got to go build an old West town out of cardboard, and it's the fourth grade, and you have 3 weeks to do it. All that does is one big, huge argument about who's going to the store, the hobby store, how late it's open, who's going to help, blah, blah, blah. It's one big argument. The New World Order for the sports stuff is the all-day Sunday event. No. So here's how it goes. You have to be in Anaheim. You have to be in Anaheim, California, and it's Sunday, and the coach wants them there by 7:15. Which means I have to get up at 5:45 Sunday, which means, the world's your oyster Saturday night. And to get up at 5:45 on Sunday, feed Natalia, argue with her about eating an egg, blah, 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 hit the road, roll into the place in Anaheim at about 7:20. Rolled in at 7:20. And then you shall get to leave at 3 o'clock. That is your Sunday. And the reason you leave at 3 o'clock is because they have a game at 8 a.m. And then they have to ref a game. And then they have another game at 11. And then they have another game at 1:30. And you're not going anywhere. And I get the part where you want to support your kid in their endeavors. The part where you have to quit your goddamn job to watch him play all day. Like, it's all day. And it puts this insanely, it leaves parents into like an insane position. Because what happens is I don't want to sit there all day. I don't want to dedicate my life to peewee volleyball. I would like to be supportive, and I would like to go to see a game or two. Maybe they win that game or there's playoffs or something. But this is the entire day. By the time you leave your house, left the house 6:30 a.m. Sunday morning, like dark outside, like wheels up 6:30 a.m. rolled in at about 4 p.m. for peewee whatever. We did peewee whatever. It was 1 7-inning baseball game. It was 1 East Valley Trojans football game with 12-minute quarters. And the whole thing was well under 2 hours. The baseball game was well under 2 hours. And then we didn't take a sabbatical for 3 hours and have another game. Now we're done. Now we're done. So there's this thing where you're supposed to just bivouac with your kids. Like, you show up to this place and they're playing 15 volleyball games at once. And that is your entire Sunday. Your entire Sunday is reamed out. Just completely, like, I work. I do nothing but work. Like, Sunday's I'm going to putz around. I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to take care of this and that, my little to-do list or whatever. And Natalia's great, and actually watching girls volleyball is in a weird way better than watching peewee boys try to play basketball. They volley back and forth and all that kind of stuff. But my thing is just play the one game, and then we'll just turn around and go home, and then we can get on with our goddamn lives. This is three games. One's 8 o'clock, the other's 11:30, the other's 2 in the afternoon. And there's no, I'm going to run home in between. There's just, you're in Anaheim. Ugh. Get used to it.
It gives me a weird combination of like anxiety and boredom.
Ugh.
Like that's a really tough combination.
I'm gonna
sit there all day.
Put myself in a better mood.
Yeah.
Is this your favorite Michael Jackson song?
It's up there.
Okay.
I want to tell you about Dollar Shave Club. Now I'm in a better mood. You want to feel and smell your best and never go to the store. They deliver everything I need right to my door. Keep me fully stocked so I don't run out. You know, you guys, I've been saying this for a million years. Buying tweezers, buying nail clippers, by five. Mm-hmm. Never
spread
look
around.
For them. Never look for them. Never have to go to the store and wait in line for a $4 item. Have it come to your door, man. They'll take care of you head to toe. They got a new program that automatically keeps you stocked up, determines what you want, when you want it, and it'll just show up at your door. And the most precious thing you have is time, people. So I use their toothpaste now, which is great. Always use their razors. They have their handsome discount. And the more you buy, the more you save. It's Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
And right now, they got a bunch of starter sets you can try for just $5, like their oral care kit. After that, the restock box ships regular size products at regular price. So what are you waiting for? Get your starter set for just $5 right now at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
You know what strikes me?
This one's up there, too.
I like this song, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. How dare
you? Oh, yeah.
Or do I ask it as a question?
This is the point after attempt, the PAT, man. I love this song. Because anything
moved it
that involves
back.
Football. Yeah, this, of course, is before they moved it back.
This is automatic back then.
It wasn't automatic, that's why. Yeah. So here's what we're doing. It's kind of interesting. I think we're creating a world. It's sort of like it's what we have here in Los Angeles. Half the people will be burdened with tons of taxes and tons of regulation, and then the other half will just sleep on the street in Santa Monica and sell hot dogs out front of the Staples Center and never report the cash and never have to deal with the health inspection. Now, so we're getting simultaneously harder on people like want to open a business and want to open a restaurant with more regulation, more taxes, more this, more red tape, more whatever. But then there's a whole nother group. They just go down to Costco, buy some hot dogs, wrap them in bacon, and go right onto the Staples Center property and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just take the cash and never report it. So we're having this weird thing, which is like, we're doing the same thing with parents. We're doing half the parents are like, you don't want to raise your kid? Don't raise your kid. Move to Florida. We'll feed them. Don't worry about that. The other half is you must give up your entire weekend, bring your folding chair, and pay for you to watch this kid play volleyball for the privilege of watching these 12-year-olds play volleyball for 17 hours. We used to live in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We didn't have so many, I've never met my biological son, but we didn't have a whole lot of, I'm camping, watching my kids play sports. It was a little
travel team.
A little more in the middle.
Oh, it just struck me. Natalia made the team. Because remember last year, the coach didn't like her.
Oh, yeah.
He had out for her.
Yeah.
He must have warmed up to her.
Yeah.
No, but she made the team, obviously, this year.
Sonny didn't make the basketball team, but it was sold to him that he could kind of be the statistician.
Oh, he's going the Bald Brian route.
Yeah.
He's probably good at that.
That's right.
And I have to bite my tongue every time. Like he's like, well, that's a more important job than that.
How would anyone know if the game took place without me?
Listen.
Well, I need to talk to the boy. I tell him why he's so important.
You can't bang the... We're looking at Brian. Look.
Hey, I thought Brady, you left your batting doing that over there. No, it's going to go home without it.
Look. Much, but look, anyone can bang the prom queen, but someone needs to cut that guy's nuts. Okay? Dab his brow. That's where you come in, Sonny.
Yeah, I had a better view, actually, if you think about it.
Oh, it's a much more important job.
Yeah. He was looking right in the eye.
Yeah, anyone can bang that prom queen, but who's going to cut those nuts and dab the brow? Who's going to, when he says hit me, who's going to tilt the Gatorade in his mouth when his hands are planted on her hips, doggy style? Huh? That's you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's you.
Congrats.
Congrats.
High five while you're holding a scorebook.
Woo!
Aww.
Yeah.
It's a proud position.
He's happy. He thinks he's happy.
That's all that matters.
That's right. All right, let's do, let me hit Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engines lose up to 10% performance due to friction. Castrol Edge transforms under pressure three times.
Mm-hmm. Three times, fool.
Stronger. Against viscosity breakdown and leading full synthetics. Castrol Edge. All right, one more.
All right. Well, speaking of movies, this is pretty interesting. The long-rumored movie about Beatles manager Brian Epstein may finally be a go. And according to Beatles...
Well, we got to make the Motley Crue.
Get
one
line.
Now. And the Quiet Riot one. And all the
Poison.
Greats.
This
all
one,
Poison.
This
all the great
Row.
Bands.
This one I'm actually into.
Well, this is...
I am, too.
And there'll be an extra little added benefit because British actor Dominic Cooper will play the master promoter who took a little scruffy Liverpool band and turned them around. And there is rumor that Tom Hanks will also be in it. There's one more name.
Reprising his role from That Thing You Do?
Exactly. So he's a lifelong rock and roll fan, and he wants to be involved. So it's going to be a Tom Hanks vehicle.
That Thing You Do is a very enjoyable
movie. I love that movie.
Directed by Tom Hanks.
And with a hit we already talked about. Yep. The idea that it's tough to make a pop hit, but it's also tough to make a movie where the band is going up the charts on a song that no one likes in the theater,
right.
And that was both.
Catchy as hell.
Got the goods.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
All woke, no joke.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Peterson Automotive Museum. We're doing our big 10th anniversary show there. Kimmel's going to be there. Leno's going to be there. We're going to show... Oh, Willie T. Ribbs is going to be there. We're going to show Uppity and all that kind of stuff. And plenty of tickets for the car show still available. That's during the day. Yes.
Sorry, we have something breaking right now. If this is indeed true and to be believed, my boyfriend just sent me a screenshot.
Doesn't feel like news.
Hold on, Brian, because it says Brian Bishop.
What?
On Twitter, leaving Arlie Ermey off the In Memoriam segment is an embarrassing moment in an already bad Oscars. Does that sound familiar?
I did say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Donald Trump Jr. agrees, retweeted you.
What?
Sad to hear my good friend Lee was left out of this. He was a great man and a great talent, and while he was always much more at home with regular Americans than Hollywood, he should not have been left out. Brian and Donald Trump Jr. are simpatico.
I am conflicted.
Thank you, boyfriend.
I'm not a
Andy.
Huge fan of Donald Trump Jr., but I mean, let's, in this day and age, you can agree, you can have things in common with people you don't agree with on other things. Yeah, Laura Lee Ermey getting left out was an atrocity. We can all agree on that.
Well, your brother Don agrees.
My brother Donald Trump. Well, what's you, Johnny?
I agree.
I'm with you, DJ TJ.
Look, you guys are simpatico like Heckle and Jekyll right across the board, man.
How do you find that?
You just said it to me. I have no idea.
No. How did Donald Trump Jr. find
it? I'm sure he follows you voraciously.
That's a good point.
I told you your tweet is like in the Twitter like stories. Like it's like one of the top tweets of the Oscars.
Wow. That's great.
People have feelings about it.
And my first impulse is that there was something I didn't know. Like sometimes there's a time thing where it's like, no, he wouldn't be eligible until next year or whatever. But leaving him off.
Yeah.
Insane.
Travis.
That was
Thank
worth
you,
stopping for.
It was
that was worth getting in
for.
There for the news.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for allowing
Thank
me
you.
To report that breaking news.
All right. Trump just picked up an extra vote.
Yes.
2020. Simply Safe. No one should feel unsafe at their home, and that's why you got to go with Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. It's simplysafe.com/Adam, and you get it shipped today, peel and stick, up and running in under an hour. All right. You go to AdamCarolla.com. Lots of live shows and the cruises and the Tenney Booze and Book Club coming up March 7th and all sorts of stuff. So you just go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where and when and everything else. Brad Williams in the studio. Good sports coming up next. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad and Ben Greenfield and Bald Brian in his new bestie best. Don Jr., say it. Mahalo.
I give interracial couples a look, daggers. They get uncomfortable when they see me on the street.
Stick around. Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming up next.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on the Adam Carolla Show. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Reminder, make sure you check out the newest episode of Dave's of Thunder. It is a dandy because Donovan spreads his wings. He's starting his new little right wing slash bluegrass podcast called Chillax, and I have a role in it. So make sure you check out the new Dave's of Thunder. It'll all be explained in there. Meantime, how are you, Ace?
I'm doing well. Sports.
Yes, sports indeed. You know what we talked about is the most tedious job, and you have worked some of them. Let's talk sports then. What do you think would be the worst job? Because that seems like making it for anybody. Everybody would love to be a professional athlete. What do you think of the American sports, at least, would be the least savory? Even if you keep it to the four major sports, which what gig would you least want to have?
In position, in sport?
Yeah. I guess you could say jockstrap collector in the locker room, but I mean for an athlete.
Well, you got to think of positions like catcher in baseball.
That'd be up there for me.
Constantly down there, just squatting down.
That would be so tedious. That's the word that I always watch baseball. I don't watch much baseball, but when I watch baseball these days, I'm always struck by how tedious that must be for that guy back there. Because they kind of stand. Most of them stand up every pitch. They catch the ball, then they stand up to throw. Then they got to squat back down. That's got to be some pain in the butt, literally and figuratively.
They invented those little pads that go on the back of your ankles that
they did.
Sit on. It's like basically you've invented a little folding chair for yourself. But also, I feel like the way your body is shaped, and I don't think those things are as prevalent, Gary, as they used to be. It sort of feels like they would hyperextend your knees.
Right.
Like it would try to pull your knees apart. Interior line in football seems like a lot of mini concussions all day without a lot of punani at the end of the day.
Yeah, because you have to inflate your body to 300 pounds. There's a limited collection of women that vibe to that.
Right. And let's see. Hockey all seems like fun to me. The soccer's, of course, boring all the way around. Basketball, there's no bad position or bad place on the court as a basketball player.
I always say I'd like to be in the bullpen and be like a lefty, like only face, lefties, like bring me in for one batter a game, and like otherwise I'll just be screwing off in the dugout or in the bullpen away from the skipper. But at the same time, I think if you were, it must be some time on the road,
yes.
Those guys, how many guys, for every Barry Sanders, there are 100 guys who just hang in whatever professional sport well past the time that they should out of dignity. They love to sit at the end of the bench. What happened out on the road? I guess we know what happens out on the road. It must be some time to try and give that up.
Check.
Seems so boring.
I'll tell you why you could not be a catcher
at
the major league level. Not because of the physical ability. Of course, you have all the tools.
Thank you.
And not because of the temperament, the attitude, or any of that. It would simply be wild pitch versus pass ball. There would be a huge argument on the mound. You would be screaming and gesticulating. Oh, the ball bounced in front
Especially if Kevin Hench was the pitcher.
The game would
be stopped endlessly so that we could debate.
He would be explaining that the ball was a little low.
I threw it right in your glove, hit you in the glove. Yeah, that's a wild pitch. Yeah, good call, right, Shaq. Good idea.
You would be explaining that he bounced it off the scoreboard before it even got to home plate, and then they would never stop arguing. And we couldn't continue the game.
That's fair. That's right.
That's fair, right? Like, would never, if anyone gave you a pass ball, you would, like, go up into the press box and find the official score. And
well, you would be also a bad catcher because you would endlessly debate the umpire. Like, yeah. Like, that's a ball. Like, look where I caught the ball. I mean, it was close enough there.
47% of MLB catchers wear the knee savers, wear those pads.
This article is not dated, so you could be correct. This maybe is a little bit...
Well, we have to look at some modern pictures of top 10 catchers.
The pictures in this article are very modern day, if modern day would encapsulate
so they're
the last
wearing them.
10 years. Yeah.
They're wearing them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind a set of those just for around the house.
Wouldn't be the worst thing.
You know what I mean?
That's a great
idea.
It's
not like they weigh anything. Also, they probably float. If you ever get drunk and you're around the pool, the worst happens. You know what I mean? They could save your life. Also, it'll make me feel like my kids, my wife, I don't listen to them, but I think they would think I was listening if they did a thing and I squatted down. I started scratching my chin and squatting, and Lynette was like, let me tell you what else is going on with one of my friends.
And right, I'm like, this is going to be a long story. Hold on.
This is too poignant for a chairwoman. And I don't want to take a knee because that shows disrespect. I'm just going to squat down and think about this.
But as an aesthete like me, I am distracted negatively by them. They don't look right on the catcher, right?
They have.
It looks weird. Like, what's that thing coming? It's like Gronk. He looks like he has a bionic arm at this point.
They have. It has a little bit of. I'm trying to think of the. Who's the mythological? Who's the
Achilles?
Flying? Is it Achilles? Who's the flying? Who did the FTD man? Find me a picture of the FTD. Is
Achilles.
That Achilles? Yeah. It's got a little Achilles to it. Like it. I don't know. If I saw a guy wearing that, I think of it like when I see a guy who uses two phones. I go, that guy's up to something.
Mm.
He's important.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
He must need two phones.
Yeah, you don't just walk around like that out of a stylistic
choice. Not doing it
choice.
For my health. Hermes?
That's what it says here, yeah.
Was that from the FTD commercial?
Correct.
Wait a minute.
FTD calls him the Mercury Man.
Then what's Achilles about?
The Mercury.
Mercury Man is what FTD calls him.
Now understand, Greek and Roman mythology have basically the same people, but then they have different names, which throws the whole thing out of whack.
Either way, I feel like a guy, every once in a while, there's a guy who's got a leather sort of snap lid holster, and he wears it on his belt. And you know this guy where you go, you're doing that thing where it's like, oh, you got a box, and it's like, oh, this Amazon shop. Then you start wrestling with it a little, then you start chewing on the corner of it, and then he whips out that knife and snaps it out, and he cuts the tape, and he hands it back to you, and he snaps it back, and puts it in, and you go, that guy's got his shit together, man. Look at him. That guy's got a knife. He's got a $9 knife that he carried. But that guy knows something and is doing it. Then you think, nah, I'm not good enough for that. Like, I would never do that. I feel like, let's order some of these catcher pads. I'm going to start wearing them around.
I like that idea for him.
They don't weigh anything. They got to be less than
$30.
I'll
buy one of them as a tribute to his 10th anniversary. I'm not buying two. I'm not made out of money.
I think you would get a lot of respect from, you know, neighbors, family members.
It's going to be confusing when you get out of the car with the piano tuning sticker magnet on it with those things around the ankles. I mean, that's going to really cause some head scratches.
Can I tell you, too, I still have the stupid magnetic piano tuning sign on my car. A week ago, I went to the Mexican food place
known as a restaurant?
Yeah, it's a Mexican food place in my neighborhood, the restaurant in my neighborhood. I did the move. It's oftentimes crowded. So I told Lynette, hop out of the car. You know, I'll pull up front, hop out, you know, get our name in. There's a little wait, and I'll go find a parking space. She hops out of the car. I go find a parking space. It's at night. I get out of my car. I start walking, and there's like a 60-year-old white couple, and the woman starts walking toward me, and I'm walking, and she goes, "Do you have a card?" And I go, "A card?" She goes, "Do you have a card?" And I go, "No." Why? And she's like, "A card for the piano." And I go, "What?" And she goes, "Do you have a card? Are you local?" And I'm like, "Oh, no, I don't. No, I'm local, but I don't have a card." I've had this happen three times now. It happened at the Anahuac Lumber. It happened at the Los Amigos Mexican restaurant. And she goes, can I take a card?" And I go, "No, I don't have a card."
That kind of obtuse interaction is what you complain about endlessly. So I'm delighted that that happened to you the other way.
This is my fault. And I'm like, and she's like, "Well, I'd like my piano tune." And I'm like, "Yeah, no, I mean, not really. It's just kind of."
You're like Lori Petty in Point Break.
Yeah, I don't want to
coming
teach
in for
surfing.
A surf. For
beat it.
You don't got what it takes to have your piano tune.
Take your fish tacos and hit the bricks.
By the way, as a side note, I don't like the Tom Castaway could have been much better, but you talk about that proficient guy who knows how to do stuff in life. That's what ruins it. Tom Hanks's character knows how to do too much stuff. Be a much better movie if you put me on the island. Then, like, watch a completely incompetent grown man. Then what happens? I guess I would just
die.
He's
doing oral surgery with a hockey skate.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be able to do that. Like, wait, how do we get open this coconut? And then I'm going to die if I don't figure it out? Well, then I'd be dead 3 days later. I guess the movie would be over. That's why they don't do it that way. All right. For Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Good Sport. Good Sport.
Please follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter. Tell a friend at Adam Carolla Show. And follow the Ace Man on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Facebook, Adam Carolla. Instagram, Adam Carolla. Voicemail, if you want to leave us one, call 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, the main three events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.